Simply, this is she, and I want to give thanks for each and every one of you for listening in this moment. Today we have special guests Kimberly Wolf and Rick Frausto. They are going to share their wisdom around union, creation, imagination, and infinity. Without further ado, let's dive in.
Workshops I was doing around town. I was doing restorative yoga workshops, and I found that even through restorative yoga, people still were not able to drop into really deep states of decompression. And my own experience working with essential oils gave me the idea to create an essence to use in these workshops to really help people get into that space. And so I worked on creating this essence and introduced it into the workshops in three different formats that were used throughout the workshops. And it worked very well. It did the job and really addressed the purpose that I set out to address. So over the course of about 2 years, people started asking me if they could buy the products. And I started hand making the products to order. And then I had someone come to me and ask me if I could do a custom designed scent for them. And so I did that. And then I found that I really wanted something that was all my own, and I developed a scent for myself that was really beautiful and started wearing it on a daily basis. And everywhere I went, people were asking me, you know, what are you wearing? And so I started creating that essence for others as well. And I realized that through my experience of 20 years working in corporate beauty industry for primarily skincare brands, but over the years some color and fragrance brands as well, that this was part of the fiber of my being, really. This urge to work with things that make people feel beautiful from the inside out, really, was part of who I was, and I had really rejected that severely when I left the corporate world and went into the world of yoga and wellness. And I really wanted to sever that whole part of myself and my life completely, because it's such a a toxic industry, really. And it took me a while to come to the realization that I can take parts of that and incorporate it into my current life and use it for the greater good. And when the product started getting such a great response, I decided to then take the leap from the world of teaching yoga into creating these products and bringing them to market, and really in a big way, helping people to heal through the use of these plant essences. That's
beautiful.
And so you ask me...
courage.
Yeah, courage. It took a lot of courage to leave a very safe job in the beauty industry, where I was earning very good money, and it was quite stable but very toxic, as I mentioned. And really, I had to cultivate the faith that I could, in fact, you know, create a world that I desired to live in. And so I worked very hard at that through meditation, through my yoga practice, and through connecting with other like minds that were supporting me in that effort. And so for 5 years, I have worked diligently to create my own venture with the yoga, doing the retreats and the workshops and teaching and whatnot. But I found that that over time, it maybe wasn't what I needed to be doing full time. And so when these essences came into my life, I realized that this is the culmination of all my years of experience in wellness and beauty come together in one format. And so when I realized that, it was like a light bulb that kind of went off over my head. And in the yoga business, it's challenging to make a sustainable living. And so I still had one foot in the beauty industry, and I was freelancing and consulting for these beauty brands. And just in February, I decided to take that leap and leave that safety net of the freelance work and the consulting jobs to dive right into my new venture. And once again, the courage came really through support of my loved ones, of my colleagues in the wellness industry who are a little bit more dialed in and, you know, gave me further insight into how I needed to let go of certain things in order to cultivate that extra amount of courage it took to make that leap a second time in totally changing careers.
Beautiful. I'm glad you listened.
I know. You were one of those people.
That was a very clear message.
Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's you know, so much encouragement came forth that I couldn't really ignore it anymore. And I realized that having a safety net was actually preventing me from becoming successful in what I really wanted to do. You know, when you always have that one thing you know you can fall back on if you need to pay the bills, it's so easy to go to that and stay stuck in that place. It's very challenging to let go of that and just completely trust that you're going to be provided for. And the second that I did that, of course, so many doors opened.
So encouragement is the lead into your question, Rick. Because I know you were one of the people to encourage Kim, a little mouse told me, to take a leap of faith before we dive into your art, which will come in the next round of questions.
Sure.
I would love for you to share, just to the artist and people that have that aspiring interest in them, but they hold back and feel discouraged, but how you might encourage them to really let loose, because the exploration and the creation that's surrounding us right now is just so in- inspiring, you know, whether you know how to partake in it or not, or just want to hang it on your wall, but you can feel that inspiration.
Well, more than anything, with me, my perception of art is that learning never stops. And to me, it's like being in school. I've been creating my whole life, you know. I got into my father's paints, his model paints, when I was like 2 or 3 years old, and covered myself with red enamel paint and woke up in the morning, my parents screaming over my head. Like, you know, it was definitely one of those things that's always been my path. I always knew I was going to do something creative, and I've always done it, and I've always been blessed being around people who were also very innovative and creative, and able to see projects through, stand back and look at it at the end of the day and say, I did that. Yeah, that feels good to see your work, you know. And so I've always felt a sense of satisfaction from just creating things and seeing it through and looking at, you know, standing back and looking at it. And I think that has given me a lot of the confidence that it takes to take that leap, you know, because you know you can do it, you know. And when you're in situations like I've done all kinds of different jobs, and there was always a point where I just knew I gotta go. It's time to go. It's time to take the next leap. Like, I learned what I was supposed to learn, and it's time to move on. And it's so true. I know that everyone says this, but when one door closes, another one opens. In my case, one door closes, 10 doors open, 20 doors open. You know, there's just, you got to make yourself available to it.
Beautiful. No limits.
There isn't any. There isn't any. It's limitless.
Yeah.
I think that the limits come in your own mind, and you create those walls, you know, in your own mind, and blockages and whatever. I've always thought to myself, I wanted to show them, you know, like do it my way. And because I know, I mean, I don't know, I guess I have an intuition about it. I just know what it will take to create this thing or do this, take this step and see it through and accomplish that, you know. And I feel like I have a lot of those under my belt. And so, you know, I saw Kim and what she was wanting to do, it made perfect sense to me, and I did encourage her to pursue that, and I know she's going to be very successful at it.
Beautiful. Aho.
Aho.
So limitless. I had a friend say to me this morning, actually, he said, you know, we're dealing with infinity here, because I was kind of like, when do we get to, he's like, I was kind of saying, when do we get to the bottom of, you know, when you're done, like the clearing and your inner work and your outer work? And his response was, you know, we're dealing with infinity. I go, so this limitless, you're in partnership with this man who's the expression of infinity, just by all the beautiful, I can't wait to have pictures here, but there are so many objects and intricacies, but you're really limitless too, because you're dealing with the plant kingdom.
I'm so excited about that.
And it's infinite.
Yeah.
If you can share a little bit within infinity that we all have to play with, we all have that potential access to, how you found to hone your dance between the finite to the macro.
That really took time and patience and a lot of trust, really. Letting go of self-doubt and opening up myself to my own creativity. I actually never thought of myself as a creative person at all. I always thought of myself as more of an analytical person, but these last couple years working with these plant essences has showed me that I am in fact a creative person, and that creativity comes in many shapes and forms, not just an artistic expression, you know. And working with the essences has opened up the creativity, because I've had to explore each component of these essential oils and find a way to combine them to get the desired result. And it's actually quite a balance between science and art. That's the way that I see it, because the The act of blending the oils is very specific. You have to know the properties of the plants and be familiar with the scents and how they're going to blend together in order to create a powerful essence. And so I felt a little bit like a mad scientist, and through working and blending and creating these essences, I have realized that the possibilities are totally endless. So, you know, at first I was very apprehensive about it, actually, because I'm not a trained aromatherapist. I had to rely completely on my intuition and belief in myself and trust that I knew what I was doing, and Rick helped me a lot with that, because there were several times I thought, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do this, and he's like, you can do it, you totally can. And so that is really how it expanded for me, was coming from a place of, like Rick was saying, you know, having those self-created limitations in the mind, letting go of that, trusting that I am indeed capable and I am in fact creative, and just diving in. And that's when it all opened up and really started expanding for me, and I began having a lot of fun and getting really excited over working with all the different essential oils and creating these blends.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and we are in the fun factory. We're in right now. I gotta take just some shots to show people that, to get a sense. I won't expose it all. If you can share off what Kim is sharing, that aspect of expression and taking objects, because you're taking a lot of reclaimed. When I walked in, I was like, wow. If you've ever gone to the Salvation Army or Goodwill, you realize that we really don't need to make anything else probably ever again.
No.
For a while.
Especially when it comes to plastic.
That we can just keep creating, deconstructing, creating, composting, all these consumable goods. For you, can you share a little bit about, obviously all these things are speaking to you, and about your process of communication. Kim's been communicating with the plants, you're communicating with the ethers, it feels like, and bringing it down into objects. If you can share a little bit about that process for you.
Yeah, the objects are definitely a big part of the ether. What I'm sitting in front of right now is my visual database, and hopefully you get a couple shots to show people that. It's like my lifetime collection of things that speak to me, or, you know, things that are, you know, it's like my own little hardware shop. I feel like, I there's always that one little bolt or, you know, something that you're looking for to connect something, and, you know, it's always like, that's where it comes down to, or it's like, you know, that connection, like, oh, it's done. Because that can stop a whole project from, you know, being finished. If you can't find that one thing that's going to, you know, seal the deal, it's done. It's like, you got to go to the hardware store. And I don't know, I'd rather recycle as much as possible, or try to use that as the challenge to figure it out. Like, a lot of people ask me, like, do you weld all this together? And I'm like, no, it'd be too easy. You know, like, it wouldn't look like this. It wouldn't look anything like this if I was welding it. It'd be too easy just to put things together and making it more absolute. I try to keep it more on the loose end of where it's not absolute, where anyone could take their own vision or get an idea from it. And, you know, I'm not just putting a label on it, you know. It is organic. It, you know, a lot of the work that I create takes years to come together. And so, yeah, it's the process is just, you know, working with reclaimed materials. That's always been my message, you know, to recycle, you know. And so there's a lot of it is that I find great joy in doing that. My grandparents came up during the Depression, and I had a lot of time with them when I was a young child, and I remember that first moment watching my grandfather whittle a wood airplane, like a B-52 bomber that he did from memory, because he was just that kind of artist. He could just sit there with his pocket knife out there, and he would walk around, you know, and find little army men or something and put them in there, and find like a, you know, some wheels off of a little toy and take those and make that the wheels like on the airplane, that kind of stuff. And I would say, you can do that? Like, to me, it almost felt like it wasn't even a lot. I was like, what, 7 or 8 years old when he was doing that. And I was like, it's like, oh, everything is up for grabs. You can recycle everything. And I'm like, wow. And that stayed with me. And I was always doing that on my own. And when I, by the time I got into college and I was starting to create ceramic sculpture that looked like found objects, I just thought to myself, wait a minute. You know, by the time I got to three-dimensional design, I thought, wow, I can really use this. I think it was Wire, Alexander Calder's circus, that just, everything just came together. I just thought, wow, that's, I could, that, the wire, the, is the glue. You know, I love to wire. I've learned over the years several wire techniques that, you know, I've been just honing that, you know, forever. And it gives you the freedom, it's like a continuous line of freedom to join things together, to figure out how you can put things together and create a life with that. And they are alive. You know, everything is alive. And it's great to take like a doorknob or something and put it into a work of art and give someone the perception of saying, you know, to themselves, I guess, you know, like, wow, I shouldn't throw things away. I should save it and either give it to an artist or make something. And that's starting to happen. I mean, there's a lot of that. There's a tradition of that that goes back way, way, way back. But I think, you know, that's the beauty in all of it to me is being able to be smart and create things very consciously, you know, and try not to, like, have to buy things all the time. Just, like, run to Home Depot if you're going to do an art piece and try to buy everything there. It's just, you know, there's a certain magic to it when you use your imagination and try to solve a problem by being limited to just what you have in front of you. I think that's what fascinates me about some of this African art that I've seen, you know, in some of these museums where they've just recycled every single thing that they have and made this beautiful quilt or something out of, like, can lids or something like that. To me, that's magic. And it shows your life. It's like this was, like, in someone's possession. They use this object, it's still beautiful, let's create art out of it. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely.
Okay, I seem to wander off, but...
No, you did great. You're okay. Reminding me, I was just thinking of it, it was probably because I was coming into your guys' energy field. I ran a lot of marathons, and my mom, you get all those shirts, which you can only wear so many running shirts, so... Uh-huh. She made it into a quilt for me, and I was just thinking of it the other day. I'm like, where is that quilt? Because you put so much energy into training for a marathon, so it's nice to have all your races. You can cuddle up with
Sit
it,
back
so.
And...
Did you run today?
I did not run today, no. I have not run a marathon in a while, but
okay.
Maybe someday again. So magic, and this is fun doing it. So your essences, I would love for you to share the magic that occurs, and it was beautiful how you shared this, basically did a case study with your students, so universe provided so nicely for you, like,
that's so true,
put you into a study, that market research study with your students, and then you could see the outcome, which not everyone gets that opportunity.
That's fortunate for me.
But if you can let the listeners know a little bit about what unfolded for you from one essence to the next. And
sure. Well, after the first one, I developed it for relaxation, decompression, and really taking one out of the head space into the heart, out of the realm of the thinking mind and the conscious self, the ego, into the realm of the intuitive and the place that is directly connected with the divine. And so I realized with that there's so much opportunity to create essences to address many different facets of life and many different issues that people have that complicate life. And so the second essence, it started out actually as a room spray that Rick's sister asked me to create because she has a brood of pet children that at her house, two big dogs and two cats. Yeah, and so she asked me, you know, to create this essence, and I asked her, well, what would you envision for it? What are your favorite scents? And so she told me, and I worked with what she gave me and came up with a really beautiful essence and created that room mist
it's
for
so
her.
Good. It's so good.
And I realized, you know, because she gave me feedback about that, saying that, you know, it actually energized the space and made everyone feel happy, you know, once they you know, were enveloped in the aroma. And so I thought, wow, I should not limit myself to this one blend. I should create another blend that inspires joy, that energizes, that invigorates, that that combats depression. And so the basis for my second essence was actually the formula I made for Rick's sister. I took that and tweaked it and put it into a concentrate form that can be inhaled. So the benefits are immediate. And so that's how the second essence came into being. And then the third essence was really born because I wanted a scent for myself that opened the heart. And so again, I started exploring the opportunities with the different plants and just was able to access the most amazing essential oils that I put into this mix, which I originally was calling the Love Potion, because it seriously attracts people to you, like magnetically attracts people to you. And I have had encounters with people where I'd be wearing it and I'd have the little bottle in my purse, you know, because I refresh throughout the day, I put it on. And, you know, they'd say like, well, you know, I'm going on a date tonight. And I'm like, well, do you want to try it? And so I give them a drop and they put it on and just walk out of the room and people would be like, what is that smell? It's so good. And then the next day I get phone call saying, you're not going to believe what happened.
Total mojo.
Yeah, it's the mojo. Yeah. So the third essence really inspires an open heart and sensuality and unconditional love of self and others. And as we know, when you open yourself, you know, when you love yourself first, that opens doors for love to come into your life. And a lot of people really struggle with that. A lot of people really struggle with relationship and attracting love into their life. And this is one way to help address that issue, because the plant, it's medicine, really. And it goes straight into the bloodstream. And it has an effect on the physiology and an immediate effect on the mind and the emotions. And over time, if you really work with the essence, it has a transformational effect, you know?
It's mood altering altogether.
Yes, that's so true.
You gave me a little bit of love. I put some on before I came.
Okay. So that's how they came about.
And when are you, you officially launched the end of September, and you're close, or
well,
or
I
was that the pre-launch?
Well, we were going to,
pre-launch party.
Yeah, we, I had anticipated to launch in September, but soon realized that if I wanted to present it to the world in the way in which I really desire, that I needed help. That I couldn't do it by myself. And I was really fortunate that a former colleague of mine from the beauty industry who specializes in e-commerce and social media marketing was in between jobs. And, you know, we were talking on the phone one day and I told her what I was doing and she was so excited about it. And she comes from primarily a clinical skincare background, so this was something new for her, but she was really drawn to it and offered to help me build my site and do all the technological stuff for free, just because she was really wanted to support me in this effort. And so she came on board and started helping me, and very shortly thereafter I realized that I need her. And so she was interviewing at that time for big stable positions in the corporate beauty industry, and I asked her, you know, Alexandra, would you come in and be partner with me? I need you. And she was so thrilled. So she came on board, and we made some changes. And so it set us back a little bit, but the changes are really in place now to build a solid foundation. And so we expect to launch by the end of October, the first week of November.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. And we'll, you have, well, we'll get to that. So as you jumped, you launched back into the world of creation from working for 6 years, you said?
Six long years.
In the grind, as we would say.
Yeah.
If you can, just because there's no way to articulate this all in just audio format since you're a visual artist.
Right.
But this gives people the inspiration to come see your shows and give some glimpses of what is available to them. You mentioned earlier about The Wire, as I'm looking over here, and then you have a new light series that's very intriguing to me. My chemistry, I love chemistry, so it just reminds me of being in the lab.
Yeah.
And then painting and drawing. So why don't we go through the elements as for you in terms of media? And if you can share a little bit about each one and why you are inspired to dabble in all of them.
I primarily specialize with found objects and creating what I call multimedia sculptures. There's a lot of that around us, and a lot of what's in the studio reflects that element, that medium. And I also work with clay. I work with wire, paper, wax, painting, drawing, and hopefully animation's coming. This should be, actually it is coming. And I want to see these creations start to move around and have a life of their own, because they do in my head, but I'd like to see, you know, see it, like, you know, look at it, you know, on a screen and see it move. And I think I can even go further into depth on some of the processes, you know, and how things come together through doing it that way. Because it is there's a lot that people aren't seeing with my work, because it's, it takes, you know, a certain amount of time to do, and it's just interesting to, you know, I would like to capture the process of the actual making of the work, because there's a lot that goes into, a lot of thought goes into that. And I dabble in all the, I don't dabble, I create all different kinds of media, just because I enjoy doing that. You know, I even play music, and you know, I plan on doing my own music for my own animations and whatnot. And it's just a joy to create, and any which way I can create, I like cooking too. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like whatever, yeah, whatever, whatever, you know, I do, art is life, you know, and so I create that, you know, for myself and for my friends. And I feel like the main purpose of being here on this planet and creating is to inspire other people to do it. I think that's, you know, it's right there in the word Earth, you know, A-R-T. So, you know, it's there. It's like that. This is a schoolhouse planet. We're all here to learn. And art is a good way to do that. And the creating is a good way to do that, because you're constantly working on those critical thinking skills and, you know, problem-solving skills. And, you know, and it does give you humility and focus and great joy and sense of purpose, you know, when you are able to make something with your own two hands. You know, I think that is a great joy. you know? And, you know, it may not make you, you know, multi-billionaire or whatever, but that's not what you're here to do, you know? You're here to learn and, you know, and to help. And I think it does heal. You know, art is a very healing thing. I've read some things, and I also have felt it myself, always having that foundation, especially working with kids over the years and doing workshops locally and seeing the impact it has had to create a certain foundation, something that, you know, can be useful, you know, in certain situations when you need to be creative. You figure things out a lot quicker when you've been doing it a while. And it's never too late to start, you know? It's never too late to start. I feel like people feel like they get to a certain age or they've been doing one thing too long or whatever, and they just sort of get locked in that or just like, I can't. Like, you got to stop saying that word.
Because you're read telling that book.
Yeah, yeah, you're just, you're telling yourself that it's a mantra, you know? Yeah. You got to start just, you know, quiet that and just start doing something. Whether you're just like digging a hole in the ground, put some water in it and just start playing in the mud. That's where it started for me. I used to love playing in the dirt when I was a kid. Oh, man. I used to have whole cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that. I mean, yeah, finally they were like, you need to do something else. I'm like, all right. You know, but it was really like the earth. There was a lot of information there early on. Just the like you say, the limitlessness of it, you know, all the different shapes. I think that's why ceramics got me into sculpture. It really did. Like, I was always drawing and painting my whole life, but then when I started playing with clay, it had it all, you know, because that was like the dirt element almost, but you can, like, bake it, and then all of a sudden you got something. It's like, that was so cool. Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, I love the smell of it, and, like, the whole, I don't know, I even learned how to create the glazes, like mix all the different components to make glazes, and learned how to fire kilns at, you know, a high fire cone 10. I did that when I was in college, and learned how to do glaze reduction and raku and all those wonderful things. And someday, I'll have my own ceramic studio, my own kilns again, you know. But until then, I have to go to Anita Sinclair over at Bixby Park, and she's got a wonderful setup over there, and I think that's a good introduction, you know, even for anyone who just wants to start out. You know, a good friend of mine was an amazing painter, amazing detail, went to Otis, like, you know, just amazing, amazing detailed, realistic painter. That poor guy, he had two strokes within a couple weeks. And he's blind in one eye, his right hand shakes, and he's unable to hold a paintbrush anymore, or draw, or do anything like that. And I thought, you gotta take a bag of clay over to him, you gotta just give him your tools, just let him work on that. I kid you not, I went back a year later, he has all of these new things that he's been making with clay, and he's so stoked on clay, and it took him in a different direction, but he's able to express himself and be creative. And that was the most important thing, is not to lose that. Because the despair, once that sets in, you know, it's like a disease, you know. It can really put those blocks up to where you won't be able to process things. Anything, you know, you just find yourself in a block and stuck. And go play in the dirt. That's what I say.
Aho. Oh. Before I ask you a question, I want you to share, since this is one of your new installations that'll be next weekend.
Yes, the lamp show is coming up on Saturday.
Is it going to be there for a while?
No, it's a one night only opportunity.
Okay, that's okay. We're going to actually air this week. So.
Perfect.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Yes, that came from, it's more of like a kind of a collaboration, I guess you can say, with me and a friend of mine. Patricio Wolovich, who has the Encirco Animation Studio with his partner Todd Hogue up on Signal Hill. And I noticed that he started making these lamps recently, and I was like very taken by it because he was using reclaimed materials and very innovative techniques he was using, very original. And I got so inspired, I said, why don't we do, because I love doing lamps. I've always engaged in electricity as part of my art, and it's such a ambiance, you know,
yeah.
And so I thought, why don't we do a show, a lamp showcase? Because no one does that. You never see that. And he was all for it, and we're going to have it over at his animation studio up on Signal Hill. And you know, we're getting RSVPs, people to come in there. We're trying to get the right people who would be interested in purchasing these lamps because they are for sale. And I think that they're original. They're all one of a kind, handmade with reclaimed materials. And I think it's all good. You know, I got so inspired, I created 10 new lamps.
They're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I love light. So.
Yeah, and it's all about the, we were talking about it at first. We were like, yes, we have to use these really awesome vintage light bulbs. Got to have that cloth cord and the beautiful sockets and everything. It all has to be vintage looking, you know, at the end. Like, that's the quality in it. And so I am really proud of that. I'm really proud of what we both accomplished. And, yeah, we're going to... we'll be installing this week, and the show will be open for business on Saturday.
And is it open to the public or invitation only?
It's invitation only, but everyone's invited.
Okay.
You know. So, you know, they can RSVP with me. Okay. I don't know if you're going to post the link.
Yeah, we'll post a link.
Okay, good.
Is that good?
Yes, absolutely.
We're telling you about this, but you can't see it, so. Sorry. And whatever does not find a new home that night, it'll still be available
yes.
in other ways. And
yes,
so,
they'll be up on my website soon.
Beautiful. Yeah, they're amazing. For you two, collaboration and union, being that this is the first time I've actually met you in person, but I kind of feel energetically like I've known you through Kim. If the two of you can share the beauty and dynamic of being in such a trusting relationship, both from the ether realm, to the heart realm, to the physical realm.
Yeah.
What's possible when you allow yourself to be in that place of trust with one another and openness to one another?
Well, that was immediate. From the moment we met, it was like, who are you? Who are you? Oh my God! And it was just like, boom. Because we celebrate our anniversary on the day we met because it was...
Every month,
because that was magic. It was like we knew each other from a past life or something. And I've never had that experience with somebody, you know, in this life. It's always like you had to get to know someone or whatever. We just knew each other. We just looked in each other's eyes and we just like, well, let's go play. You know, I mean, it was just as simple as that. And we've been together ever since, and we've been doing magical things. I feel like being with her, my life has certainly gotten a lot better. I've made some really good life decisions, and I think that, you know, she has too in her life to, you know, be together and make our lives easier.
Well, you know, when we realized that we were kindred spirits, we have, I think, in almost 3 years, never spent more than a day or two apart. We really enjoy each other's company, and, you know, we don't, like, our favorite activity is to sit at this table and just talk.
Yeah, we love conversations.
And they go for hours, trust me. I mean, we really just sit and talk and dream together. It's such a rare and beautiful thing to have that. It's been a dream come true for us to both take a leap of faith and leave our corporate jobs, because almost from the beginning we realized that we could create together, and that's all we wanted to do. We just wanted to be in this bubble creating beautiful things and helping to heal, you know, the world through our creative efforts. And because I was able to support Rick in the process of him leaving his job, he then supported me in the process of me leaving mine. And we made it possible to actually bring that dream to fruition, and we work together every day. Even if he'll be working on his own stuff, I'll be there at my desk in the, you know, 10 feet away, 15 feet away, working, and we're constantly bouncing ideas off one another. Hey, come look at this. What do you think? Or should I do this? Or, you know, just always. And
lots
it's
of support there.
And inspiration. Like, we're constantly just inspired by what we're each doing individually. And that has really fed our collaboration, which happened totally spontaneously. When I first met Rick, I soon discovered that he made jewelry, and I had many years ago also made jewelry myself. And so I said, you need to have a trunk show. And he was like, what's a trunk show? I'm like, here's what it is, and this is what we're going to do. And so he started, you know, gathering all these pieces together to make this new collection of jewelry. And I was so, it woke up that part of me again. And so I started working with him, you know, just making suggestions of, oh, you know, maybe we should do this or this could go here. And then he would, you know, refine everything. So it was like I was kind of curating the pieces and he was putting them together and then putting his special touch on every single piece. And so we had a trunk show and it went extremely well. And after that, we're like, okay, we have to, you know, we have to do this together. This
it went so smoothly and it was so much fun. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Let's do this again. And it's been a year since we've done. Because it's like,
it's time for another one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's life. I mean, so much has happened since then. You know, so much has happened. We both left our corporate jobs. We went to Morocco, got married, and came back. And then we've just been busy, like two little busy bees, just working on our dreams, really. And so we're going to have another trunk show in December.
Yeah, so we get to come back together in collaboration on that, and we're really excited.
It is exciting. It's exciting to create with your partner.
And beyond that, though, we co-create every day in pretty much every aspect of our lives, you know, but at the same time, we both have been able to maintain our individuality because we support that in each other, you know? So it's not like we're hunkered down, the two of us never leave the house, you know? We have a wide circle of friends and family that we spend time with and other creative people, and we really enjoy that too, and, you know, and Rick has his own projects he'll go off and work on, and I have mine, and we'll come back together and, you know, just like be all excited to share what happened, you know, with our individual things. And it's just really, it's just really great. It feels really good.
Yeah.
You guys have both such a beautiful twinkle in your eyes right now.
Well, thank you. So do you.
Thank you. Just sipping up the love.
Aww. Well, it's exciting what's coming. There's a lot happening, a lot of really good things happening, lots of shows and collaborations. So, yeah, I can't complain.
Good.
Busy is good.
So we're going to include the links, but I'd like everyone to claim and orate out loud where people can find you right now. Oh. And there will be new additions, which we'll add, because this is infinite, this cast.
Great.
So why don't you share where people will be able to find
Coming soon, papillonapothecary.com. And currently, chrysalisyogainfo.com.
Great. And then if that vanishes, it'll springboard to there?
It will. I'm going to maintain that site and eventually convert it into a resource center for yogis and seekers. And I'll have a link to the shop on that site as well.
Right.
So it'll still be up and running.
Okay. We'll include both of them.
Thanks.
And you?
RickFrausto.com. That's FRAUSTO.
Don't forget the R.
Yeah, don't forget the R.
Suzanne, can I mention one thing also?
Yeah, absolutely.
About 2 months ago, decided to develop a program based on Debbie and
Ramon.
Debbie and Ramon. You know, we had went to see Ramon's show, and Debbie was handing out the little flyers for their program. And I said, oh, we've been wanting to do something like this. My friend Suzanne Toro, and she's like, oh, Suzanne. I'm like, oh, you're the one that you told me about. Remember? And you're like, you guys should do this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, she gave us her blessing and said, by all means, you know. So we created our own program. It's called the Art Ownership Program. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that is very affordable and makes it accessible for people to own an original work of art by, you know, just coming in, visiting the studio, you know, picking out a piece of art that they love, that they feel really connected to, and then maybe making a small down payment and then small monthly installment payments until the piece is paid off. And so we really are trying to promote that because so many people just think that they're priced out of the art market, you know, and there's so many people that would love to own original art but think that they can't because of the financial constraints, but we have developed this program to make it possible, so we would like to just,
Yeah, I'm so glad because it's amazing. When Debbie and Ramon introduced me to that, I was like, this is incredible. It's like an art bank.
Yeah.
It is.
Such a great idea.
And, into your sentiment of art being healing, creating it, but also just viewing it and being around it. It's very, you feel if you're connected to what the artist is.
Especially when the patron gets to live with it while they're paying on it. They fall in love with it and they have no problem supporting that, you know?
Well, and then the benefit also comes back to Rick because it helps him to create a way that sustains the creation of new work and, you know, getting his work out there into the world.
Yeah, and a consistent revenue stream.
Yeah, it's very reciprocal.
Very important to have that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Keep it alive.
We live at a moment where there is currency on planet Earth, so we have to participate in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay. So I want to thank you guys so much for welcoming me here
Susan.
Letting me feel the inspiration. This is exciting. And I'm
of
absolutely.
Course. Thank you for presenting this opportunity to us to share our vision and experience and
tell our story.
Yeah. We really thank appreciate you. It. It's been really lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, I want to thank Kim and Rick for joining me, she, and sharing their wisdom, their creativity. If you are in the local Long Beach area tomorrow night, he is having a show. We'll post the details below. Otherwise, you can connect to them and have a personal studio visit to see his work. And please connect to both their sites and support the arts, support creation. And we're going to exit out with a little fun from Kim and Rick. This is a mini version of mixtapes that they like to create. We'll start by going into Beach House, Real Love, Little Junior Parker, Tomorrow Never Knows, and Frausto and Dunn, Demo Number 8. Just sit back and imagine for a moment or two the things that you would like to create, the things that you've hesitated from creating or think that it's not possible. As Rick said, just let that go and have some fun. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, big smile, a soft gaze, and a namaste. Be simply.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying, it is not dying. Lay down all thoughts, surrender to the void. It is shining, it is shining. Yet you may see the meaning of within. It is dead. It is believing. It is believing. But listen to the color of your dream. It is not leaving. It is not leaving. So play the game, existing to the end. Office.